things. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful things. Laugh a little more things. Tighten up your core things. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things.
With Amy Brown.
Crazy that another week has gone by. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it's already June. I can't believe we're halfway through the year. And I was sitting here thinking like, okay, so this is Thursday, a new episode's coming out. Like, what was I doing last Thursday? This week has flown by. And I was in New York for Thomas Rhett's album release party, which was amazing because I got to take Stashira, which we had a little girls trip attached on. So we left on like Wednesday and then stayed through Sunday. So after I got done with work on Friday, Mary was there and we ended up like going to see Wicked on Friday night, which was so amazing. I mean, to see it on Broadway. I'd seen the show when it came to Nashville. There's just something about being in New York and on Broadway and seeing it. Like, it was so cool. And then we got to go backstage and meet Glinda the Good Witch because Mary had a hookup, like our friends Jill and Kate. That, I mean, I say our friends, I've only seen them online, but Mary actually knows them. Like, they know the girl Jeannie that's playing Glinda the Good Witch. I think that's how you say her name. Jeannie? Oh, shoot. Now I don't know. But either way, so sweet and so kind. Like, she was literally so kind to Stashira. She just got done performing on Broadway. She had to show up the next day to do two performances. I'm sure she was so tired. And we walked back there. She was like, oh, y'all need glitter for your faces. So she put like fairy glitter on Stashira's eyes and let her try on her little tiaras and hold her wand and look at her dresses. And then she took us out to the stage. Like, these are people that are like really busy, have a lot going on and just so kind. And it makes me think of Thomas Rhett too, which that's why I was in New York, you know, earlier in the week was work stuff before we did the whole Broadway Stashira Girls Weekend trip. And Thomas Rhett was so kind. I mean, he's there for his album release week, which is hectic and crazy. Like, he has a lot going on. And Stashira was back in his dressing room area and he was talking to her about how he adopted a daughter from Uganda. And then he was asking her, do you know where Uganda is on a map? And then he busted out a computer and he's like, here we are, we're in New York. And this is Haiti, this is where you're from. And then this is Uganda over in Africa where my daughter's from. And like, he just was taking the time to show her this stuff. And I'm like, people are just so kind, even really super busy people. So it's just always a reminder, no matter who you are or what you're doing, like, if you're being kind, it shows up. And I use that as a reminder to myself, like even just in our day-to-day lives, sometimes if you can just stop and take a second, like you really could be making someone's day. Because like for Stashira after Broadway, I mean, she thought it was super cool, but the whole backstage thing, like, and Glinda the Good Witch being so genuinely sweet, like we got back to the hotel and she was like, well, that was amazing. Like, she just thought it was awesome. Like, she plopped down on the bed and she was like, tonight was great. And to me, as a mom, like, it was just super cool to see people be so kind, super busy people. So you're never, it's a reminder, like, you're never too busy to be kind to people that you know, or maybe to strangers. Maybe it's someone at the grocery store. Maybe you're in a hurry. But if you can grab the door for someone or smile at someone, I mean, it's simple things like that. So that's my little story about how this week has flown by, but probably because I spent through Sunday in New York, which on Saturday night, we were like, what should we do for Saturday night in New York since on Friday night we went to Broadway? Well, Stashira like loves hotel rooms, like loves. She thinks they're amazing. So we just rented a movie and hung out in the hotel room and she thought it was so cool. We bought basically every snack known to man. You can go to my Instagram at Radio Amy and you can check out some of our pictures from New York. It was definitely fun and like snacks on a bed, like when you're 12 years old. And we introduced her to friends, like because it was on the hotel TV, like on, I don't know, TBS or something. So of course Friends was playing and we're in New York, so it seemed appropriate to watch. But then I was like, she's 12 years old. Like, should she be watching Friends? I don't know. That's the big debate. And now that we're back home, she is, you know, every day this week, she's asked me, Mom, can we watch Friends? And I've been letting her, but then some of the content, I'm like, oh, please let that be over her head. I really don't want to address that. Like, please let that be over her head. And she's laughing at other things. I'm like, okay, yes, this is a good show we can bond over. But I don't know if y'all have thoughts on that. Like, if any of you other parents out there that are more experienced than I am, because even though my daughter's 12, I've only been a mom for a year and a half, and I don't know. I'm just curious, like, if you let your kids watch Friends? Like, what age is Friends okay? Because trust me, I would rather sit down and watch Friends with her than some of the other stuff that she's into that's like real like kid things. So keep me posted on that. On today's episode, we're going to talk about like the science of happiness. I've got Hunter Mobley back on. He's our Enneagram expert. Like, you are loving the Enneagram. I get so many emails about the Enneagram. So he's going to come back on this week and next week. And today we're going to talk about the movement of the Enneagram and how you can kind of like be a certain number, but you can move to another number in times of stress. So, and then I learned something really cool from him, and it's called HALT. Like, have you ever heard of HALT? And I've been using it ever since I did this interview with him and we recorded it, and I've like kept HALT in my back pocket. Like, my husband and I kind of got into a little bit of a fight, and I was like, whoa, 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 HALT. And I'll go ahead and tell you here what it is. But when Hunter told me it, I was like, okay, this is amazing. Why have I never heard about this? But it's, okay, is one of us hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? Because if that's a situation, then like we don't need to be fighting right now, because we might be fighting because we're hungry. And same thing with my kids. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, do you just really need water or food? And like, then you're going to start behaving better. And then, you can work through it. Like, if it's that you're angry, okay, well, let's talk about, why are you angry? Are you been holding something inside and now you're going to explode? Like, let's go ahead and work through this, because what we're fighting about right now is not really the issue. So let's get to the issue. So, we'll go over that in the Enneagram. And then, also we're going to talk about like variety of veggies, like how you should be eating the rainbow and how veggies can actually be a protein source for you. So you don't always have to look to like, you know, meat or chicken or fish. Like, don't feel like you have to have that in every meal, because there's protein in the veggies. And then something that I did that has been a game changer. A long time ago, I told y'all I quit pressing snooze and I started making my bed. Those are two like game changer things in my life that I am obsessed with now. And there's another thing that I've done that changed my life, and it's a game changer. And I hope I stick with it. And, you know, and then Mary also gave me a tip. Like, once I did this first thing, she gave me a tip to help start tackling the second thing, which I'm in the process of tackling. But I know a lot of you are in my shoes. So I'll tell you what I did, and how good it feels. Now I feel like more of an adult, and it's awesome. So there's your little menu for today's episode. And yeah, with that said, let's get started. First thing. That's right. I follow this girl, Laura, on Instagram. Definitely never met her, but been following her for a while now. Her handle is @fitasgluck, and she's a nurse, shares a lot of really amazing information when it comes to health and lifestyle and things that she does. But she always puts a disclaimer of like, hey, this is what I do for me, because I know that it works for me. It may not work for you. But she posted something the other day where I was like, okay, this applies to everybody. So here's a post that I really liked of hers about the science of happiness. So I guess she was listening to some podcast, and here's a couple of things that she learned when it came to the science of happiness. First thing, it only takes 3 minutes of negativity, news included, to set your mind in a negative direction for the following 6 hours. And people who had this path set for them were more likely to say that they had a bad day or give a negative review of the day at the end of it, even if nothing else had happened. Second thing, if you take 2 minutes in the morning to send an email, text, or a note to someone thanking them for something or simply showing gratitude, then you'll have the opposite reaction. And then if you continue this for 21 days overall, your happiness level will go up. So, I mean, that's like the signs of happiness right there. And I totally agree. We've talked about on the podcast before, maybe trying to find time during the day to think of 4 things that you're grateful for and jot them down, because this is the 4 things podcast, kind of go with that theme. I mean, maybe just take a couple of minutes a day, yeah, to jot those down and be intentional about it. But I do like, you know, maybe sending a note to somebody else instead of just recognizing what you're thankful for or grateful for in your life or your day or the people, like actually extend it to others. Like, write a quick thank you text or a thank you note, sending that gratitude out to somebody else, because you know it'll make them feel good seeing it. So She kind of ended her little post reminding people to check their environment, check their minds, and see what you're putting into it. What are you doing to promote your own happiness? So thank you, Laura, for this post. Even though I've never met you, I just think that it was really a helpful thing to hear because, again, it's pretty powerful that it only takes 3 minutes of negativity to set your mind in a negative direction. So we all need to kind of reverse that and make sure we're pouring lots of positive. Because honestly, if you do turn on the news, it is hard to avoid the negative, but we can change the trajectory. We may just have to be more intentional about it. So at Fit As Gluck on Instagram is a good follow. Check her out. Second thing. As promised, we've got Hunter Mobley back to talk about the Enneagram.
I'm so glad to be back.
Yes. So last week talked about stress.
Yes.
So everyone has their core Enneagram number, right, which Enneagram is just a personality tool.
Yes.
And we all have a number. Mm-hmm. I'm a 3, Hunter's a 2, my husband's a 9, my sister's a 9, my friend Mary's a 6. Like everybody's got a number and you can kind of use it in your relationships and it's kind of fun.
It is. It's fun.
But
it
then maybe not with... fun if people start to point out your negatives.
Right.
But you know, whatever. It's interesting to study and learn about and hopefully will be beneficial to people, yes, if they really start to understand it. But you know, we all have our core number, which is gives us a lot about our personality. Traits, the awesome things, and then maybe the not so awesome things.
All the above.
But then we have wings, which we've gone over in a previous episode. But then last week we touched on where we go in times of stress.
Yes.
So this week we're going to talk about where we go in times of security.
Yes.
So explain what that might look like or mean.
Yeah. So first of all, people need to kind of realize that when you're looking at the Enneagram image, you see all these lines. We talked about this last week, but you've got two lines going from your core number to other numbers. One of those lines is representing a move that you make in stress, and the other line is representing a move that you make in security. So we kind of all know intuitively what stress is, right? You know, we feel stress every day. We're stressed in traffic. We're stressed at home. We're stressed at work sometimes. But it's harder for us to know what does security even mean?
Right. I'm very curious.
what security means in terms of the Enneagram is anytime we're kind of in the ruts of life, anytime we're just like in the groove. So work is a secure place for a lot of people, even though maybe it's stressful, maybe it's not exactly work that you want to be doing, but just if it's in the ruts, it's in the groove, you just know what's expected of you, that's a place of security. And so in security, we can go get some behaviors from another Enneagram number and kind of borrow from those behaviors. And so for me as a 2, I go borrow from 4 in security. And so what that means for me as a 2 is I can go and get some stuff from 4 that's creative. I can go get some introspective stuff from 4 that usually 2s don't have a lot of that. 2s aren't very interior focused. They're more outward looking, but 4s are really interior focused. So I can go get some of that good stuff. And the idea is that in that move in stress, you actually make that move in stress to take care of yourself. But in security, you make that move to find your deepest places of meaning and vocation and calling and transformation.
Oh, okay. Wow. So as a 3, where do I go in security?
So as a 3, you go to 6 in security.
Okay.
So this is where as a 3, you're able, you know, 3s are usually kind of a little bit more oriented to their own personal success and achievement. But 6s are oriented toward the achievement and the success of a group. Mm-hmm. So when you are in a secure place, when you're kind of in the good ruts of life and you kind of are in the groove, you're actually able to borrow from 6 stuff, which is where you're able to want the whole family and the whole group to rise. It's where you're able to want other people to give you feedback. And able to take that in good ways. It's where you're able to ask good questions and not just kind of charge forward with your own agendas or your own kind of plans. And so it's a good kind of common good place for you to go and camp for a while as a 3 is in that 6 space.
Oh yeah, I like that.
But the thing we kind of need to remember is in the same way that we don't automatically have to go to the bad, unhealthy place in that stress move. we don't automatically go get the healthy stuff in our security
move
either.
So in security, do we go get unhealthy stuff?
You can. That's why we need to know about
this.
Okay,
so tell me what I would go get if I'm going to six in security, but I'm going unhealthy.
If you're going unhealthy to six, that is where it starts to look like you might be spiraling into some worst case scenario thinking.
Okay.
So that's where you might, have a bump on your arm. And before you know it, you've talked yourself into it's some
cancer,
really bad thing.
And I'm dying.
Yes.
Yeah. So I do that if I just go to WebMD.
Yes. Yeah. Probably nobody should ever go to WebMD, right?
Right.
But so that's, so you can go get the unhealthy side of your security number, or you can go get all that good six, common good, loyalty, dedication, I'm the glue of my family, kind of good six stuff. So I think we really need to know about these moves in stress and security, because you don't have to know about the Enneagram to be making these moves all the time. You make these moves
intuitively,
it or not.
It's just more interesting to understand why you're
exactly.
doing it.
Exactly. And if you know it and understand it, then you can make sure you're making the move in a healthy way and not in an unhealthy way.
Yeah.
That's kind of the big point.
I feel like, sometimes is that I help people, if they're really in tune with the Enneagram, understand where they are in life. Cause like maybe you don't even realize you're stressed.
Right.
But then you start noticing yourself doing like some of your stress number
yes.
stuff. And you're like, oh, wait, pause. Whoa,
yeah.
am I stressed right now?
Yes. Yeah, so
because
I,
you're just, sometimes we're just like going,
yeah.
we're go, 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 go.
Exactly.
We don't realize what's happening around us.
So I have a friend who's a seven, and sevens are happy go lucky
yes.
and fun loving.
Love sevens.
And so he called his mom one day. He knew the Enneagram, and he said, "Hey mom, I'm really, really stressed. I probably need to talk through something with you." And she said, "Well, what are you stressed about?" He said, "Well, I don't know." She said, "Well, how do you know that you're stressed?" He said, "Because I've just organized my closet by color and I've put everything in its place." And so that's where sevens go to one in stress. And he knew that if a seven was organizing their closet by color, stress is present.
Oh yeah. See? Okay. So he was aware.
Right.
And
he was
aware. Able to call his mom.
Yes. Yes.
I love that.
Yeah.
Sevens are so, my friend Gracie, she's a seven. She's all about like fun.
Yeah.
Like everything.
Yeah. Sevens are awesome.
How are we going to have?
Every day's a snow day.
This isn't fun for me right now. Somebody fix this.
Right. The worst thing for sevens is to be kind of like trapped in a situation that's not fun.
Yes. And she's vocal about it.
Yeah.
She'll like even straight up like tell her husband, like, "I'm so sorry, but what's happening right now is just like 0% fun
yeah.
and we need to like make something happen."
Yes.
And because he's not a seven.
Right.
He's like, "Oh, okay." But no, it's fun to have a friend like that
yeah.
that's like always there. Yeah. But then you don't want to be the cause of them to not be having fun.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And the beautiful thing for sevens is, when they walk toward their kind of Enneagram transformation journey, they learn to find sober joy as well. Joy that isn't always just spontaneous adventure seeking fun. So sevens in healthy space kind of learn to find the fun in the moment and
nice.
Find the fun in the mundane with the rest of us.
Love it. So there's times of stress, which
yes.
we talked about last week. If you missed that episode, go back and listen to it. And then there's times of security. But overall, like the Enneagram, again, you're just using it as a tool in your toolbox. Do you recommend that people try to, if they work with a team of people, to implement like
Absolutely.
The Enneagram into their
It's
little
so
circle.
Helpful. I
kind of wish that the Bobby Bone Show
yeah.
would do it. I mean, Bobby, I know, has touched on it, but
yeah.
I feel like maybe as a show, if we
yeah.
just all like did it and then like had like went to like
it's
an Enneagram
so good.
Camp.
Oh, it's so good. I do that all the time. I work with teams all the time. And what I find is the Enneagram provides some de-escalating language. Once you just kind of know about your number and know the number of the people around you, sometimes it just de-escalates the things that kind of rub us wrong about people that we work with, right?
Right.
It helped me to know when I did this with my staff that I work with, I learned that I was working with a five and we were having all types of relationship conflict. And once we were able to understand what fives look like and what twos look like, we were able to just kind of learn to love each other in better ways and learn to kind of accept each other's differences better because we had language for it.
Right. Tiny like example, it has nothing to do with like the exact Enneagram number, but and like I don't know, this might be awkward for you, you're a guy, I'm a girl, but girls have their time of the month, and
sure.
I feel like I work with Bobby and every morning, like if it's that time, like I can come in and give him a heads up, or he'll just already kind of know because he can tell. And he's like, oh, or even my friend Mary or my husband Ben, like, she'll like this. Actually, this actually happened to Mary this month. I think I said something to her like, oh, I'm PMSing. And she was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Right, right.
But it was like, yes, oh, okay, suddenly everything is making sense. Now that is like obviously only an example that applies to females and has nothing to do with the Enneagram. But it shows how just having a heads up on what's going on with someone helps you instantly realize like, oh, that makes sense. And then suddenly you're not, there's no, there's the conflict sort of goes away.
Yes.
Or there's empathy or there's, you understand. And you're like, there's grace. And you're like, okay, I'm going to let that slide because that's not you talking. That's the monster that lives in you every month or something.
Right. That, no, the Enneagram is a compassion tool. You're right. So that's how it can be used.
I love saying that. Mm-hmm. Compassion tool.
It's a compassion tool.
We didn't cover that
compassion
today.
For self mm-hmm. and compassion for the people that you love and work with.
Yeah. No, that's huge. So it can be highly beneficial in a workplace, but also in a home space. Yes. And then, you know, some parents I know try to figure out their kids.
Right.
And then use that, you know, once, even though their kids maybe don't totally have it, but
yeah, we should talk about this sometime. Yeah. There's kind of almost categories of numbers that I think sometimes show up where you can see not necessarily what number your kid is, but sometimes you can see what grouping of numbers your kid might be in and start to just kind of respond to them in ways that are helpful for that grouping of numbers.
And then they may, respond to you in a more, respectful, helpful, like you're my parent manner and maybe less therapy later in life.
Right.
That's what I'm struggling with a lot right now is like, what are we doing to our kids that's going to cause them to end up in therapy?
And we're all doing something.
Right.
But hopefully we're doing the best we can. And tools like the Enneagram can help us just become the best versions of ourselves that ultimately spills over into how we live with our kids and how we live with our coworkers and all the people we love.
Awesome. Well, Hunter's got a lot of wisdom about the Enneagram, and you can check him out, Enneagram Hunter, on Facebook. Every Wednesday, he puts up like a fun little 10-minute
video on Facebook
about the Enneagram, or you can follow him on Instagram. You can check out his website, enneagramhunter.com, to see where he may be. Maybe you'll be able to go see him speak about the Enneagram somewhere. So thank you, Hunter, for coming on as usual. I'm someone that can definitely get into a routine when it comes to my veggies. So I'm making this a thing not only for you, but for me too, like as a reminder to me to like mix it up, because I realized I was having a lot of spinach every day and a lot of cauliflower every day. And I was like using that to check off my veggie box. Like, yep, had my vegetables today. But if you're eating the same thing over and over and over, you're not giving your body a variety of nutrients. So my challenge to you is next time you're at the grocery store, make sure you try to throw something in the cart that you haven't bought in a while that will mix things up. Like if you've been doing broccoli or cauliflower a lot, maybe try asparagus the next time you're at the store. Or look down in your basket and be like, hey, I need to have a really colorful basket. Like maybe I try some red bell peppers or carrots or purple cabbage or green cabbage for that matter, or something that is going to be different to your body that's like, oh, I kind of like the vitamins and minerals and nutrients I'm getting from this new vegetable that I haven't had in a while, or fruit. So make sure you're not getting like stuck in a rut where eating the same thing over and over, because I think variety is so important. So make sure your basket looks super colorful. And while I'm talking veggies, I kind of want to talk too, because I feel like I get a lot of questions like, you know, how can I make sure I'm fitting protein into every single meal? And there's actually protein in vegetables. So there's some days where I don't have a meat or a protein or like tempeh, even if it's a veggie protein, I don't have it because I know that I'm getting a good source of protein from the plants and the amino acids that I'm consuming. So here's just, you know, a quick thing. Like broccoli has about 4 grams of protein per one stalk. Edamame has 18 grams per cup. Green beans are 8.5 grams of protein in a cup. And then I love spirulina. It's something that I add into smoothies. It's a sea vegetable and it has 4 grams per tablespoon. So you can actually mix and match veggies that'll add more protein to one dish. Like say you bust out a stir fry that has some of this stuff in it and you mix it all up, like you're going to get some good protein sources from the vegetables. So don't always think that you have to have fish or chicken or all the things in your meal. But again, listen to your body and do what's right for you, but know that you can get a good source of protein from a colorful veggie plate. So two things here about veggies. Make sure, and maybe even fruit, if you're talking like a rainbow in your cart, like blueberries or something that are really good that I don't always remember to buy. But I need to look at my cart and be like, am I missing something blue? I'm going to throw in some blueberries or maybe some pineapple for some yellow or whatever. Like, you know, you just need to go stay on the fresh side of the grocery store, which here's a tip for if you're grocery shopping and you're really trying to keep it clean and eat whole foods, is everything that's whole and good for you is going to be on the outside of the grocery store. But there's going to be some things you need where you have to go into the aisles of the grocery store, and that's where they get you. It's like, oh, then you start walking by all the processed stuff and you're like, oh, that looks good. I'm going to go ahead and throw it in my cart. So if you're on a mission to just eat whole foods, then, you know, go to the store and stick to the perimeter, stick to the outside where the whole foods are, and then you're less likely to get tempted by some of the processed stuff inside the aisles. So there you go. Make sure you've got colorful cart when it comes to veggies and fruits in your basket. And then know that some meals are okay. If you just want to have a veggie-based meal, you should be pretty good when it comes to some protein sources and amino acids in there that are going to make your muscles feel good and your body feel strong. Fourth thing with Amy Brown. On a previous episode, I did a thing about how I quit snoozing and it changed my life because I was a chronic snoozer. So if you happen to be a snoozer, I highly recommend that you stop. You'll feel better. You'll feel more rested. You'll do awesome things like starting to make your bed every day, which I love that I come home to a made bed, and I was never a bed maker either. So now not only do I not snooze anymore, I make my bed. Well, something else that I changed in my life recently was I cleared all my texts. So I was someone that had, I don't even know, a ridiculous amount of unread texts. Like, it was in the hundreds. It was out of control. Things had just like gone way back. I mean, to 2018, where I just needed to scroll through and take away the red dots. Now, red dots don't bother me on my phone. Like, if I've got a notification, I'm like, okay. Like, I have under voicemails, I have 20 unheard voicemails, but my voicemail's full. So honestly, I don't know what year someone left me a voicemail, but I have not checked it and I'm not going to really go do that. But when it came to texts, the problem is I was missing texts because I had let it get so out of control. Now, some of those missed texts were like notifications from Verizon telling me that my bill was paid. So I just hadn't opened it, so it hadn't been read, but it was still one of the numbers on my red dot, which when you get that high up, you don't really realize when you're missing an important text, like one from your coworker or your husband or your friend or your mother-in-law or something, which I'm guilty of missing texts from all of the above. And it's not fun because then you're like the loser that never got back to someone and you feel like you don't have your life together because you're like, how did I miss that text? Well, once you clear them down to zero, if you have like 2 or 3 or 4 pop up in the little red bubble, then you're like, oh, that's manageable. I have 4 missed texts. I can go back and see what 4 those are and reply. And then boom, you're instantly a more responsible coworker, friend, wife, daughter-in-law, all the things. So I recently went through and did that, and it was like the best feeling ever. Like it was a game changer, sort of like not snoozing. I used to think like, whatever, some people are snoozers, some people aren't, it's fine. Well, no, like you can stop. You can put that in the past and you can leave behind your childish ways and you can grow up. And I feel like that's what's happening with me right now and my phone. So I just wanted to encourage any of you out there that kind of have the big numbers, like the big numbers and the red dot on your messages, go clear them. You'll feel so much better. And then you can start actually keeping up with your messages and replying to people in a you know, polite time frame instead of completely ignoring them until they send you another text and you actually see it. And then you realize, like, back in March, they had sent you a text that you never replied to because you missed it. So this is leading me to the next thing. My emails, currently right now, the red dot on my emails on my phone says 2,755, which is awful. But my next goal is to go through and make that zero so that I know when I've missed an important email. But really what I wanted to talk about is unroll.me. And this isn't a commercial or anything. It's just something that Mary actually told me about. And then a couple of other people on Twitter, once they saw that I had cleared my texts, and they're like, next thing you need to work on is your emails. And so many of my emails are junk. So I had never heard of unroll.me, but I signed up for it. And what it's done is it's gone through and it's helping eliminate a bunch of the junk that I get, and it sorts it for me. Like, it's unsubscribing me for things, or it's putting things in my unroll like file, or it's allowing me to keep it in case it's something that I still want to see. So if you're trying to clear up the red dots on your phone, then I would say step one is tackle those text messages, get them down to zero so that way you can manage your red dot situation there. And then next step is let's tackle emails. And unroll.me is a way to help you do that and sort through. That way you get less and less junk so that you can, once you get down to zero, like, it'll be easier to manage actual emails that are important. So just quick little tidbit on how something so simple is a game changer in making me more of an adult. So if you haven't heard that snoozing episode, you can go back and listen to it. I think it's one of the first ones I ever did. And then even I have an episode on how to make a bed like a Navy SEAL, because when you start making your bed, it can be a game changer for your day, because you're accomplishing a little task that, you know, is something that you can feel really good about. And it kind of sets you up for success throughout the day. And now it gets to the point where if I go home and my bed isn't made, like, I didn't have time to actually do it because of other reasons, I'm like, ugh. All I want to do right now is make my bed, and my day will get better. And it's so crazy because I swear to y'all, I was not a bed maker. So anyway, I apologize to anybody listening that I know whose text I have missed. But now that I am a new person with like little teeny tiny numbers existing in my red dot, then hopefully I will reply to you. And if I have not, then I don't know what's happening. Hopefully I will get back to you and it's just a glitch in my system somewhere. Okay. Unroll.me. Again, not a commercial, just something I started using and it's pretty awesome. So you should check it out. Okay. That's a wrap on today's episode. Well, sort of. This is where I do the email shout out. So I guess we're not totally done, which if y'all send me emails, you never know if it's going to end up over here. And I love this email that I got from Kat. Hey, Amy, I just listened to your Q&A episode, I'm Behind, and I heard you say dog mom proceeds go to the Proverbs 12:10 rescue in Nashville. Ironically, I saw an incredible dog on Abby's Insta story last Tuesday. Applied thinking that so many people will submit an application, they'll never see mine. Well, Wednesday, I got an email that I was approved. I live in San Marcos, just south of Austin. So Saturday, I flew to Nashville, rented a car, drove to the Petco that they were at, met the dog, loved her, and drove 14 hours straight home with her. I love her and that organization. I'm glad to know proceeds go to them. So now I have even more reasons to order. Thank you for all that you do, Kat, and appropriately named to throw back to her roots, Nash. So, wow, Kat, this is like such an awesome email. And yeah, if y'all happen to be a dog mom and you want to be able to have a super cute shirt that also supports Proverbs 12:10 Rescue in Nashville. Now, I think that Mary and I have talked about it, and we'll probably diversify our giving to different shelters in the country. But right now, we're doing this Nashville one. And Abby, who she references in this email that Kat is referencing, is Abby Smyers, Dan's wife, Dan from Dan and Shay. They are very involved with this shelter. So that's why we know that they are doing amazing things, is they've rescued four dogs. And I have another friend that's rescued from this shelter too, or this rescue group. It's not technically a shelter, but it's a rescue organization. So I, you know, anyway, they're doing great things. And there was like a tragic story that the owner shared on her Instagram the other day where she rescued 21 dogs in one day because she saw this like trailer pulled over on the side of the road in the heat and saw all of these like dog crates stacked up on top of each other, no air conditioner, no nothing. The dogs were panting and freaking out. And it'd been so come to find out that these dogs were on a transfer, but it was like a rescue transfer, but it was not being done properly at all whatsoever. In fact, like endangering the dogs, like it was a tragic situation. So she convinced the people, like, hand these dogs over to me. Like, y'all do not need to be traveling with these dogs. You don't really know what you're doing, basically. Like, I'm sure you have good hearts, but like, you don't need to be doing this. So she took all 21 dogs. And it's not necessarily like, you know, there's just money growing on trees to do that. So now they have all these dogs and they're going to be doing like a barbecue fundraiser in different ways. So anyway, we had already committed to support them with dog mom shirts, but now it's even like more of like a cool thing because it's definitely a time where they need it. And we now actually can have some funds to contribute to their needs. So shout out to that. You can find dog mom stuff at theshopforward.com. And Kat, you are amazing. I can't believe that you found a dog and you flew to Nashville and then you drove all the way home, got a rental car. Like, that is dedication right there. Like, I feel like, Kat, I need to probably reply back to you and send you some dog mom stuff just for being amazing. In fact, I will do that as soon as I quit recording. I'm going to track you down. So thank you for that. Thank you for everybody that sends emails. Again, never know when it might show up in the shout out, never know when it might show up in the Q&A, but it's fourthingswithamybrown@gmail.com. A big thank you to Mike D and Elizabeth for helping out with my podcast and getting it, you know, all together, and Walker Hayes for my theme song. Sometimes I get emails from y'all asking, who is that singing? And it's Walker Hayes, and he's great. So is his wife, Lainey. And I am definitely getting them on the podcast soon because they have amazing stories separately. Like, I think I'm going to do one with Walker and one with Lainey. They both have different things to share, for sure. They are a family. They have six kids. They have six kids, but they have experienced loss. Their last child didn't make it. So technically, they do have seven kids. And I think Lainey is willing to share some of that. I know she did a story in People magazine about it when it first happened. So it's definitely out there. And then Walker has an amazing thing called the Craig Fund, where that is something new that started, where it's a really cool story. Like, they're great people and I feel like they will be great guests to have on. So eventually I will be doing that soon. Okay. Hope y'all all have a fantastic day. Thank you for listening and we'll see you on Tuesday. Be kind to joy. Laugh a lot. EK. EK. Be kind to joy. Laugh a lot. Cast up, roll things. Little food for your soul, things. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful, things. Laugh a little more, things. Tighten up your core, things. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things. With Amy Brown.